He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Best Stocks Now with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Shaky. I'm going to call it a shaky start to the market today after quite a wild ride yesterday. It was a it was a whipsaw yesterday. And right now we've got the Dow down 67 points, 31,469. Now, it's just about 100 points away from its all-time high. The NASDAQ is where the issue is. And with interest rates moving up again today, that's going to continue to impact these high P.E. stocks. The NASDAQ is down 170 right now. That's 1.3%, and that puts it at 13,298. Now, that's about a 700-point correction. I want to say that's about a 5% correction so far from the high. I'll have to do the math on that. 14,095 was the high. Yeah, I think that really translates to about a 5% correction in the NASDAQ so far. It would appear that that 14,000 area is stiff resistance, not only from a valuation point of view, but from a technical point of view for the NAS. The crude oil market's up 93 cents to $62.60 today. Gold is down $20. Going nowhere, 1785. Here's the bugaboo. Here's why the ground is shaking underneath the NASDAQ today. 10-year yield, 1.43%. And I don't see any resistance until you get up around the 2% area. That's going to continue to impact bond funds, which I would not own a bond fund for anything right now. And it's going to continue to impact high P.E. stocks. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. What a day yesterday, huh? At one point, the NASDAQ was down 500 points. And it closed by the end of the day. It was down about 80 or something like that. It made up a lot of lost ground yesterday. And the same with the Dow, which was down about 300 or 400 points at one point in time and actually ended positive yesterday. The Dow up about 80 points, or no, 16 points by the end of the day. Let's call it dip buyers. Kathy Wood seemed to be a big dip buyer yesterday. I was not a big dip buyer yesterday. But the stock market did rebound. I saw a lot of the FANG stocks had a good day. The oil stocks, a lot of oil stocks having a good day. And I would say it was mostly the rebound in the economy post-COVID trade that was leading the way yesterday. This is an area that I'm not real interested in. These are the hotels, the travel companies, the airlines, the restaurants, the cruise ships, etc. And my take on that is they were not good stocks before COVID. They're not good stocks after COVID. In fact, as far as I know, the cruise ships are still tied up at the dock, unable to go anywhere. And Jerome Powell, you know, I think he said it best yesterday. Let me find his quote. He said that we're a long ways from a recovery, a full recovery in the economy. I'm trying to find his exact words here. We'll find those soon here. But anyways, I think that tells the pathway. He says, well, here it is. He said that they will continue to be very accommodative as the path remains highly uncertain toward a recovery. He did forecast a return to more normal and improved economic activity later in the year. I'm just thinking that most of that has already been priced into these recovery, so-called recovery stocks. So that's not an area that I have much interest in at the current time. Now, I do daily work that comes from my Best Stocks Now app. I keep a daily chart of how many B-plus or better ranked stocks I have and how many A-plus or better momentum stocks. The B-plus ranking is overall. That's momentum plus valuation. We saw back on February the 8th, 1,457. I've never seen a number that high of B-plus or better ranked stocks. Most of that's coming from the momentum side of the equation, as we have witnessed unprecedented momentum and a lot of speculation really since the election, I would say. It's very reminiscent, yes, of the year 2000. I didn't have a Best Stocks Now app back then, but I got to believe there would have been an enormous number of B-plus or better ranked stocks, not on valuation, but from the momentum side of the equation. In addition to that, back on February the 8th, I had 1,900 A-plus or better. No, I'm sorry. I had 1,400 A-plus or better momentum stocks, which was also a record high. Now, where are we at today? 2 weeks later, 2 weeks and 2 days later, we're down to 1,043 B plus, from 1,457 down to 1,000. We're still at a very high number, but the direction of that number tells me something. And on the momentum A plus stocks, we've gone from that, actually 1294 was the top. There's the real number, 1294. We're down to 811, so we've lost 400. A lot of momentum has drained from this market. You've got three factors that I look at. I look at valuation, momentum, and, of course, the technical charts of the market, and I keep you posted on that daily. But as you can see, the momentum has been draining from the market here since February the 8th. And, of course, I've been reporting about the valuation issue that the market has right now. So take that all. I know what I'm doing with this market. And I relayed that to my clients this morning and to my live trading subscribers. Well, it was Jerome Powell yesterday that calmed the market, reassuring comments as doves flew out of his mouth, his nose, his nostrils, his ears, everything, nothing but dovish talk. In the meantime, he's got to be a little bit worried about the inflation and the way interest rates are going. Now, he did say something that reinforces what I've always said. He said the reason that interest rates are moving up on the bond market right now, they haven't raised interest rates. Have you seen the Fed hike interest rates lately? I haven't seen it. I mean, I don't think I've seen it since Brady called hike, you know, in last year's Super Bowl. Was he in last year's Super Bowl? I'm trying to think of the last Super Bowl he wasn't in. But the Fed has not hiked interest rates. They haven't even discussed hiking interest rates. But we've gone up 100 basis points now, okay, from a low back in February of last year of 0.4. On the 10-year, today we're over 1.4. That's 100 basis points. So why are interest rates moving up when the Fed hasn't even flinched? Because the market is forward-looking. That's what Jerome Powell said. The bond market is forward-looking, and it's starting to price in. Well, that's what I said last February about the stock market. While everybody was looking at yesterday, today, and tomorrow, think back to February last year and the gloom and doom that was out there, the market was looking ahead a year or two. And what do you think the bond market is doing right now? It's looking forward a year or two, and it sees higher interest rates coming from the Fed, one. And it also is seeing inflationary numbers. You had home prices up 11.4% year over year. You had oil. You have oil prices now back over $60 per barrel. You have copper hitting a 10-year high the other day. And yet I hear all these big economic gurus saying, well, there's no signs of inflation whatsoever that we're seeing. Well, the bond market and interest rates think otherwise, don't they? And it's impacting the high PE stocks. This is not the same market it was a month ago. It's not the same market it was 6 months ago. It's changing. That's why you have to be an active investor and not passive. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Well, the name today that brings back memories of the year 2000 for me is Kathy Wood. I'm kind of fascinated with this whole story of the ARK investment ETFs and the kind of stocks that she's buying and the impact that she's had on those stocks and her future outlook for those stocks. And I don't know that she has any defense. I mean, I think, you know, she's pretty much committed to these stocks over the long haul. And I'm just here to warn you that they are, those are the most high-flying stocks of all. And they will be extremely volatile. They're fun to own when the market goes up. But when you get a day like the last couple of days, it shows you at one point her ARKK fund, which is kind of her flagship, was down 11% yesterday. At one point in time, it was down 5% the day before. Well, the name that comes up in my mind is Henry Blodgett. Who is Henry Blodgett? Well, if you were around in the year 2000, he made a name for himself. He was the internet analyst for CIBC Oppenheimer. And at the time, and he made some good calls on Amazon. Of course, if you would have picked any of those dot-com stocks in 98 or 99, you looked like a genius. I remember I had a quarter in my newsletter where my ultra growth portfolio was up 142% in 3 months. 3 months. Now, more on the Henry Blodgett story. Henry Blodgett is infamous for some calls he made right at the top of the dot-com bubble. And in fact, he put his money where his mouth was. In the early 2000, days before the dot-com bubble burst, Blodgett personally invested $700,000 into tech stocks, only to lose most of it in the years that followed. Well, you know what? I like somebody who backs up their investment thesis with their own money, but obviously he was dead wrong. And I remember him, I want to say he's the guy that made the statement that, you know, valuation doesn't matter anymore or something to that effect. Well, he became very famous at that time, and Merrill Lynch hired him on from Oppenheimer. He was becoming a media star. These are the early days of CNBC and, you know, people, a lot of people got involved in the market back then that had never been involved in the market before. I think Jim Cramer was probably coming to the fore. Well, in 2002, the New York State Attorney General, Elliot Spitzer, published Merrill Lynch emails in which Blodgett gave assessments about stocks which conflicted with what he was publicly published, that what was publicly published. In 2003, he was charged with civil securities fraud by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. He agreed to a permanent ban from the securities industry and paid it. In other words, he was hyping and writing good things about stocks that Merrill Lynch reports that privately he didn't think were very good investments. Well, anyways, now he's the founder of Business Insider. Business Insider is pretty popular online publication. But Henry Blodgett was kind of the face of the crash that ensued, the poster child of the, there were others, the crash that ensued in the dot-com bubble, the bursting of the dot-com bubble, which began in March of 2000 and took 79% out of the NASDAQ. That's how much overvaluation there was in the NASDAQ at that time. We're not in a situation like that today, but we are at very lofty numbers. And now the guru and the star is becoming Cathie Wood. And yesterday, as electric vehicle stocks tumbled, Cathie Wood bought more shares of Tesla for a second day running. She added 11,893 shares to the ARK Autonomous Technology and Robotics ETF. She added 177,000 shares for the ARK Innovation Fund, 51,000 shares for the ARK Next Generation Internet ETF. Wood says she loves the liquidity that the shakeout in the market brings in general and sees a $7 trillion opportunity in the autonomous car industry. Well, you know, I'm going to watch this thing as it unfolds. You know, a lot of these stocks that she has added to her four, five ETFs, they've gone up a lot on her buying. You know, and it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy when you keep plowing money into these names. They're good names, don't get me wrong, but they're at the upper echelon of nosebleed valuations. And her comment that she made, I think, on Monday was scary. It was so reminiscent of Henry Blodgett's words. She said that these companies will grow into their multiples in the future. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That scares me. And she's in a theater with the largest holdings in the room and a little small door as an exit. I don't know that it's going to end well. I see big, big downside risk. Yes, long-term story. Yes, that's all there. But there's a lot of risk in not having a defense, not having an exit strategy, and not having a door to go through when comes time for that exit strategy, if she has one. I'm not knocking her one single solitary bit. I admire what she's done and the money that she's raised, but I really believe she's boxed into a corner. Her biggest threat comes when investors start backing out of her ETFs. Yesterday saw the biggest outflow yet of the ARKK fund, $456 million, half a billion dollars left the fund yesterday, which forces her hand. Okay, she's committed, yes, to holding these stocks over the long haul, but if people start liquidating and selling their ETFs, then she's also forced on the other side to sell. So we'll keep a close eye on that going forward. U.S. planning to sanction Russia over the SolarWinds hack. And SolarWinds is turning around and blaming Microsoft's archaic, antiquated architecture. Now, I'm not a computer programmer, but the co-founder that helped me develop the Best Stocks Now app, he's been a programmer all his life, currently works for one of the big banks. He says the same thing about Microsoft. He says, that is so antiquated. Programmers hate Microsoft. He's a big open source proponent. So anyways, I've heard this before about Microsoft's antiquated and complicated architecture. Well, CrowdStrike CEO George Kurtz blaming Microsoft for the hack of SolarWinds and their security breach. Well, it's human tendency when something goes wrong to turn around and look for the first person to blame. He's blaming Microsoft. Okay, when we come back, updates on Bitcoin. We got an electric boat going on here and a lot of stuff in the EV industry. And welcome back here to Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Flying cars, rockets to the moon, electric scooters, autonomous vehicles, Bitcoin mining stocks. Be careful out there. You know, this a lot of this is very reminiscent of the year 2000. Valuation matters. You know, the lessons I learned in the year 2000 led me to a big piece of the architecture of the Best Stocks Now database. One half of that analysis of a stock is based on valuation. And I don't mean companies that can grow into their valuation someday, or companies where valuation doesn't matter because the trajectory. I saw a guy, he sent me something from a service he subscribes to called Wallet Investor. And he says, how come they have five-year target prices on a lot of stocks that you don't have five-year target prices on? I said, well, I base mine on valuations. What are they basing theirs on? And I looked into it. They were basing theirs on the trajectory of the chart. Well, at the time, ExxonMobil was in a downtrend, and they had a five-year valuation on ExxonMobil of 10 cents. That's all I needed to see. And I saw extreme five-year valuations on stocks that are so overvalued today that it's ridiculous. So this is all kind of a sign of the times that we're in right now, highly speculative in some areas of the market. But as always, it's a market of stocks. And, you know, a lot of the stocks we've bought recently, they make total sense from a valuation proposition. There's still stocks like that out there. But when you get into the flying Chinese cars and rockets to the moon and electric scooters and everybody getting in on the SPAC game, bringing one SPAC after another public, it's a time to have your antennas up right now, okay? China. Here's another one that, you know, I don't know where this goes, but I see it coming. China speeds up currency trials as it moves to digital renminbi. China is moving very quickly towards a digital currency. The southwestern Chinese city of Chengdu is handing out another $6 million in the latest test of the central bank's digital currency. What's happening? China is racing to become the first big economy to introduce a centralized, okay, note that word, centralized, digital currency. Now, okay, here's something to think about. The digital renminbi is an attractive tool for a government that is highly concerned with social control. Well, absolutely. China doesn't want decentralized cryptocurrencies and even some from private companies like Facebook, Facebook's Diem, which was formerly known as Libra, to become a medium of exchange inside the country. They want to have that surveillance function of a centralized digital currency where China's central bank can monitor every transaction that is using the currency in real time. All right, that's just something to think about. But I do think that eventually we're going to continue down the road towards a digital currency and more surveillance. And, you know, I suppose that getting rid of the, under the table, so-called under the table economy, a digital currency, the government collect their piece of the action on every single transaction. Is the inflation scare overblown? Well, you know, inflation's not showing up in the numbers yet as you look at CPI and PPI, but I continue to see higher numbers in copper, in home prices, car prices, in oil. And I do think it's going to, it has already stopped. It's brought the expansion of the forward PE ratio to a screeching halt at about 23. We're down to 22.3, and I think you're going to continue to see contraction now as interest rates go higher of that forward PE. And that puts crimps on the target prices, not only of individual stocks. And the higher the P.E. ratio, the more of a crimp that rising interest rates place on current valuations of these stocks, these valuation numbers are going to start to come in and be lowered. And the same goes for the indexes. How far can the oil stocks run? Well, as I looked at the market yesterday, I noted several big movers in the oil patch. You know, here's what I don't like about the oil patch. It has headwinds. Yes, it's going up right now. We had the big freeze in Texas. We had the refineries shut down there for a while. We do have somewhat of a recovering economy post-COVID, although COVID is still certainly with us. I saw stocks like Diamond Back Energy yesterday. ConocoPhillips has a beautiful chart. So does Cimarex, XEC. So does Marathon Oil. So does Matador, MTDR. But as I looked underneath the surface of the charts of those stocks, I did see momentum, but I'm not seeing valuation there. And I think as we look out on the horizon, you know, you've got a pretty big political change, which puts the headwinds in the face of oil drilling stocks. And it puts the wind behind the backs of the alternative energy stocks. So for that reason, I'm not buying into this oil. I think it's a temporary sugar high that people are enjoying. They're finally right. All these people that have been calling for oil stocks to be good buys, well, they're finally right. They're finally having their day in the sun. But how long will this thing last? I'm not a buyer here. Or believer in the energy companies, the oil companies. Okay, here's another one. Electric boats. Now, this is the first one I've seen. I actually looked into this stock as I look out at my little center console, which holds about 80 gallons of unleaded. Trying to get the kind without ethanol in it. Vision Marine Technologies is a publicly traded company on the NASDAQ. I looked into their electric boats. Oh, it was about the size of maybe a taxi that carries people in the harbor. It had a nice awning over it to keep you out of the sun, but it has a range of about 4 hours. Okay, so don't venture too far from the dock. Okay, you don't want to go out 2.5 hours and have a 2.5 hour ride to get back to port or get back to your slip. Because you'll be out of electricity. It runs $27,000. You know, a boat that size with an outboard engine on it, you're probably looking at more in the $12,000 to $13,000 range. The symbol is VMAR. Look up their website. Look at the boats they offer. VisionMarineTechnologies.com. Electric boats. Okay. Now, we've got next, we've got a SPAC going public. Now, we're really getting into the hinterlands of the EV space here. SOAC soars after taking Deep Green Metals public in a transaction that will value the combined entity at $2.8 billion. Symbol, SOAC, what do? They manufacture metals used in electric vehicle batteries. Okay, they manufacture the metal used in an electric vehicle battery, and this thing shoots up on that news. Fisker called an electric vehicle standout. I don't agree with that. You know what? This is the second time Fisker's come around. They couldn't make it the first time. I had a client that actually, he had a GM dealership. He took on a little Fisker dealership in the corner part of his new car property lot, and it didn't turn out so well. Fisker is a $5.3 billion market cap car. They really have no sales yet whatsoever. This is part of this high-risk area of the market, and yet you've got the analysts saying that it's a electric vehicle standout. Well, what about valuation? Bad news for Workhorse yesterday. They were hoping to get a major, major purchase from the U.S. Postal Service for electric delivery vehicles. Instead, that order went to Oshkosh. Oshkosh, by gosh, which is O-S-K. They got an order, I want to say it was 50,000 cars that can be converted down the road to electricity. Oshkosh Corp. is headquartered, where do you think? Oshkosh, Wisconsin, you know it. It's a $8 billion market cap company, but a huge order for Oshkosh. Not getting it was Workhorse, WKHS. We'll be out back with our featured stock of the day. It's flying. This is Bill Gunnarsson. Welcome back here to the final segment of Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunnarsson. You've got the Dow hitting a new all-time high right now. You've got a split market here, split decision. You've got the Dow up and the NASDAQ. You know, that's a huge change from last couple of years where the Dow badly lagged technology, FANG, the NASDAQ, the QQQ, etc. And you've got a split this year. You've got a totally different year starting out here where you've got Dow stocks. Okay, well, that's oil, energy. That's banks benefiting from higher interest rates. That's industrials. It's more of the commodity-delivered, commodity-related trade. So big change taking place. I think it's going to be a better environment for dividend-paying stocks. It was a bad environment. I mean, it was okay. It wasn't bad, but trying to get alpha out of dividend-paying stocks over the last couple of years has not been easy because everybody wanted these high-flying, Cathie Wood-type, ARK investment-type stocks. Genomic revolution, robotics, artificial intelligence, electric vehicles, flying cars, etc. But we're seeing a shift, and you know, you have to watch. That's one of the beauties of the Best Stocks Now app. I went through the sectors that are rising right now and the sectors that are falling, and it's very indicative of a rotation that's taking place in the market right now. And you have another force at work here. You have rising interest rates. That's another force. And I'll tell you one other force that surprises me here. I thought that President Biden would be easier on China. Now, I don't know if he means it or not, but his actions seem to back it up that he's going to remain tough on China. And that is causing a sell-off in the Chinese stocks today. So, anyways, there's your cross currents. Our featured stock of the day is going to come from one that benefited wildly from the stay-at-home craze. You know, there's a couple of them, you know, in the same category, people that actually set up a business from home. Etsy, obviously, is one of those. Etsy's done very well. Fiverr was another one out of Israel where you can peddle your services, sell your services, not just products, but services online. And another one that was really first to the game with all of this was Upwork. And Upwork kind of sat there while the others were flying, especially Fiverr. And I said, you know, it's just a matter of time before Upwork people recognize Upwork. It was trading at $13 a share last year and really going nowhere while Fiverr was taking off. So I eventually bought Upwork in my emerging growth portfolio, and so far we're right on that one. Upwork has done very well. Listen to this quarter that they just reported. Their sales were up 32% year over year, and their earnings were up 100%. That means their earnings doubled quarter over quarter. Upwork is a $7 billion market cap company headquartered in Santa Clara. It's pretty much a product of the Silicon Valley, while Fiverr is a product of Israel. Upwork operates an online platform that connects businesses and freelancers. That's the word I was looking for, freelancers, and clients in over 180 countries. So you need some programming done, you need an app built, you know, these kinds of things, a website built. You can go on to Upwork or Fiverr and, you know, actually interview, kind of, in a way, have conversations with people and get prices and whatnot and choose somebody to do the work for you. So Upwork is having a good day. It was up 14%, but with the NASDAQ coming back down here a little bit, Upwork is currently is up 7.8%. Now, Upwork, being the size that it is, $7 billion, it's on the smallish side of a small cap stock. We own it in our emerging growth portfolio, it's done rather well for us. I bought Upwork. I added Upwork to that portfolio. Actually, do we own this in our ultra growth portfolio? Yeah, that's right. We own it in our ultra growth portfolio. Pretty big position. Hey, I'm happy with that. I thought it was in the it was originally, I think, and then I upgraded it. Upwork we bought on December 18th of last year at $40 per share. It's hitting 56 today, so that's a nice gainer so far for us. We'll make Upwork, UPWK, our featured stock of the day. Another one that we own, let me check on that one. No, that's not the one I was thinking of. Let me look real quickly here at my notes. There was one other one I wanted to mention. Oh, ASML. ASM Lithography got a huge contract today, $6 billion contract. Hey, that's a big one. How'd you like to be the salesman on that one? ASML gets a $6 billion. They're the second largest memory chip maker. If they got the contract for out of South Korea, they entered a five-year procurement contract worth $4.3 billion. With ASML Holdings. We own ASML in our premier growth and in our dividend and growth portfolio. Well, we're out of time. That went fast. There was a lot to cover today. I had to talk really fast. I had to skip some things. A lot going on in the market. But I think you got the general drift of where I sit right now in the market. I'm not buying the pullbacks in Bitcoin miners and flying Chinese car stocks and the highfalutin genomic revolutionary stocks. No, I think, you know, back in early February, we kind of came to a top here for now. We've come a long ways, baby, since March 23rd of last year when I called the bottom in the market. There's a different market today. And, you know, I think the word that comes to mind right now that I'm so grateful for is I'm unconstrained. I can buy some inverse ETFs here to protect against market risk. I can take some profits. I can raise some cash. I'm not constrained to stay fully invested. Well, if you'd like to put us to work for you, GundersonCapital.com. Check out our newsletter, our results. If you'd like to talk to one of my advisors, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.